We want to know you more, Lord. Lord, we need purpose, we need direction, we need hope. So we ask you, Lord, that you would come and you would meet with us, that we would have a word in season. You are awesome, Lord. So we praise you, Lord, and we thank you. Amen. 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 Such a beautiful church with beautiful people. Amen. Beautiful people with some fantastic and amazing potential. Amen. How many of you know you've not reached your destination? Yeah? You haven't maximized your potential yet. And sometimes what we can do is we can fall into a trap of coming to church every week and coming to our prayer meetings and our different groups and things and believing that this is it, because we become comfortable and we become set in our ways of our, you know, our structures. You know, this is what we do every week, this is what we do every month. And I want to tell you this morning that God has more for you. And the Holy Spirit wants to propel you on to some new things. And I heard David saying, and quite rightly so, you have a full program with many different things to partake in, but there is more. There is absolutely more. So I want to tell you that this morning. That there's an old chorus that says, it says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And put your hand up if you've decided to follow Jesus. Amen. No better decision that you could have ever made in your life. That's it. I have decided to follow Jesus. But it says, the cross before me and the world behind me. And we get it and we understand that the leaving of the things of the world behind and walking with Jesus and being Holy Spirit led, absolutely. But I want to suggest to you this morning that if we twist that around a wee bit and if we say, the cross behind me and the world before me, because if you have been saved and born again of God's Spirit this morning, then we've encountered the cross and it's time to move beyond that. We've been on our faces, we've been on our knees, we've repented, we've asked Jesus to come in, we've been filled with his Holy Spirit. And do you know what? He wants to send us into the world. He wants us to overflow so that other people can receive the fantastic and amazing message of life that is within you. Amen. So how many of you know it's not just that you're saved this morning, you hold something amazingly valuable within you. And it is the message of Christ. Amen. It is the message of the cross that you've already encountered and moved beyond so that you can overflow and pour out your life for others. Amen. That's an amazing thing. Amen. Maybe some of you need to think about that. I know, if there are any theologians in here, they may be thinking, what? Just have a think. You know, we're supposed to go into the world. You know, these guys that are on our Teen Challenge programs, the day comes when they need to go home. They've encountered the cross, they've encountered Jesus, they've been filled. How many of you know you should be constantly being filled? Amen. Not just filled. I wonder if some of you in here have just been filled and you're living off of one filling years ago and you're wondering why. You know, you're not as happy as the person next to you. You're not as overflowing as the people around about you. We need to constantly be praying, God, fill me. Because God wants to maximize that potential that we've already spoken about so that you can be his hands and feet. Because he wants to reach your community. He wants to reach your family. My goodness me, he wants to reach your children. Amen. Why would we hold it within ourselves? Amen. So I want to speak to you this morning about the wind and the waves and the Jesus' spoken word how it brings peace. Amen. I believe we've got a... Wow, I did not give them that picture. Is that not awesome? Wow. Praise the Lord. If you've got a Bible, can you turn with me to Mark chapter 4? If you've not got a Bible, you can share with the person next to you. If they're nice. Amen. You'll soon find out. And we're going to start reading from verse 36. You ready? I'll read it for you guys because it's a different version up there. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Everybody say, "The other side."
The other side.
Amen. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Do you think God cares about you? Some of you have got some stuff going on, haven't you? You've got some situations and some circumstances and some stuff going on. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Amen. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Even the wind and the sea obey him. How many of you know that God has given you authority? Yeah, every one of you guys in here, I believe anyway, can speak. Every one of you in here has a mind, is that right? How many of you know God has given you the ability to develop your mind, to develop your thinking, to develop the way that you talk about your life? Is there any like really negative people in here? Yeah, we find it, you know, that people, really negative people, find themselves in some really negative situations. I wonder if there's a connection between the two things. People who speak really positively, who speak of God's word out, you know, pray regularly, and you find some good things happening in their lives. Amen. In the book of Jeremiah, God speaks to Jeremiah and he says, "Run to and fro in the streets and find me one man. Find me one man. One man." Now I'm standing before a gathering of people, many men, many women. But God is looking for one man that would step out from the crowd. One man that would be different, a different spirit. A different type of individual, a different sort of person that wouldn't need to run with the crowd, that wouldn't be constantly limited by other people's opinions about them, that wouldn't constantly be limited because of their negativity, because of their lack of being overflowing, because of their lack of infilling, because of their lack of prayer, because of their lack of Jesus. Amen. So God is looking for one man to step out from the crowd. One person. And I wonder this morning whether this is the sort of gathering that we have here, whether we have a gathering of one man, you know, that would step out from beyond the limitations that are brought about by being in a crowd. Do we have a gathering of one man this morning that would step out On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. See, there's something about crossing over. There's something about being in one place and moving yourself to another place, isn't there? Being on one side of the river. How many of you know we're going to need to get wet? To get to the other side, there is no doubt about it. And I think some of us are limited by our fears, our insecurities. Like my brother said when he was praying for the policeman, when he was thinking about his grandmother, I wasn't confident enough. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will have all that you need. So God spoke to Jeremiah and said, find me one man. One man. If you could recognize this morning that you have that within you, to be that person. Yeah, to be that person that is able to step out. Then you'll be doing well. A lot of these guys go home for periods of time when they're on the program. And they need to show to family members, to loved ones, any changes that have taken place in their lives. And how many of you know, you're quickly found out? Yeah? Does that make sense? Like, you walk with God, and your life is supposed to change. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, our lives were going one way. We encountered the cross. We met with Jesus, and our lives should be going in another direction now. And if they're not, then there's a problem. If we talk the same way, if we act the same way, and if we walk the same way as we did before the cross, then there's a problem. Do we understand that? Yeah. So our lives are supposed to change. And we're supposed to be different. So these guys go home for their weekends, for days out and stuff. And how many know everybody is watching? The world is watching. Amen. Because sometimes that's what our families are. They're in the world. And they're looking for Jesus. They're looking for the changes that have taken place. What is this transformation that people are talking about? And thankfully, that's what we have. We have guys, we have parents, we have, you know, family members, wives, and they phone and they say, what has happened to him? He's totally different. Totally different from the guy that we sent away to you, hoping, praying, the non-believer praying, God, help my son. Help something to happen. Help him to encounter something, whatever it is. We sang a song this morning and it says, I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about how Jesus loves me. I don't have time. And I'm wondering if sometimes the very thing that stops us from being propelled on into our God-given destiny is the maintenance of insecurities and fears and how we say that we're changing and we're walking with Jesus, but we refuse on a daily basis to face up to some of the very things that are holding us back. And we tell ourselves, yeah, I'll deal with it, I'm going to deal with it, and we can even come into counseling, we can, you know, have accountability, and we have pastoralship, we have different people, and it's like the elephant in the corner. Amazingly talented people, vibrant with God's life, but not moving on into their full potential. Amen. I don't have time to maintain these regrets because I know that Jesus loves me. I come from a background of addiction myself. I was homeless on the streets of Glasgow and Edinburgh for about 15 years. In Prince's Street Gardens, at one end of the gardens, there's a graveyard, and I used to sleep there every night. And any money that I ever got, I spent on heroin and alcohol. And my life was an absolute mess. But to put it in other words for you, I was the walking dead. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know the life that God had for someone like me. But someone like you, the life that God has for someone like you. Because how many of you know me and you aren't that different? Do you know that? Yeah. We have very different backgrounds, different upbringings, but we're not that different. Because every single one of us in here has an appetite for things that are bad for us. You understand? And we need to manage those appetites that we have if we want to see the fullness of God's life come to the fore in our lives. And when we don't manage things properly, that's when we begin to see ourselves falling away. I think we call it backsliding. We call it, you know, moving away from the things of God. And you can be in church, you can be in the, you know, the praise band, you can be up here speaking, but you can be far away from God. The Bible says it like this: they come near to me with their words, but their hearts are far away. And we need to make sure, just as it was that we've encountered the cross and moved beyond and we're moving towards the world. Why? Because our life should be poured out. We need to also make sure that we need to be poured out. We need to be poured out. I can't emphasize this enough this morning, that our lives need to be poured out. That's what I was thinking when I first got up and spoke. I had a thing in my head, which is unusual for me, just of how, you know, when you feel like you're doing enough, there's more. There is more. There is a hurting, dying world out there. Yeah, like our communities, and I don't know where we stand and where you live and what your streets are like and stuff, but I know my own upbringing and I know the place where I'm from, and it's like a concrete jungle, and there are no jobs, there is one-parent families, young girls getting pregnant, and it, just drugs is just killing society. And we, as the church, I believe, need to be constantly being filled, because we are needed. We are needed to go out there onto the streets with the message of hope that we have in our hearts. Because God has worked in us so much and changed our lives so much that we're ready to do that. Yeah, that we haven't maintained our regrets, that we aren't full of fear and insecurity, and we're ready to step out to be that one man that steps out from the crowd and says, you know what, I've had enough of prayer meetings. I have prayed and prayed and prayed. I now need to step forward. I now need to go. God is with you. He is with you. He has probably heard the prayer of, send me, Lord, 100 times from you. It's time to stand up and go. If you're waiting for a sign, there isn't going to be one. He's looking for a proactive people who will stand up and step out. Begin to do something. Amen. And be filled to overflowing. And you will find that the things that you, that, you know, the places where your feet take you will be blessed because God is with you. The things that your hands touch will be blessed because He is with you. That's what I have in my mind, hiding behind meetings, group meetings, prayer meetings. I mean, you know, we have all different types of meetings. We have all sorts of meetings going on. And that's not a bad thing. But God wants to send you. You know, there's some people in here that need to go somewhere. You know, we say that to our guys who come onto the team challenge, and everybody wants to go home. And we're like, God didn't save you, you know, to send you back home again. Know that that's a bad thing in itself if it's right enough. But essentially, go and travel the world. Go and help some people. Go and pour your life out. Go and do something. Amen. And I think that goes for us in the church as well, doesn't it? Yeah. Because we are the same. We're not too different, me and you, are we? No, not really. Not really. We have a desire to know God more. Is that right? Or am I in the wrong group here? Is this the folk in here that have just settled and how things are just now is okay for you? And it's like, well, I hear what you're saying, John, but you know, I'm quite relaxed just now. I like coming to church every Sunday. I have my wee seat, my new seat. Amen. I paid for that seat. Amen. And that's where you come and sit, you know, and you have your wee coffee and you have your banter with your few pals, whatever. And God has more. Amen. I think Gordon would have it probably that these seats would be emptied so that a new lot could come in because so many had been sent out. Amen. And they heard the testimonies and the stories from all over the world as the letters and the emails came in of the different things that God was doing. Amen. We say to the guys, and it sometimes offends them, but we say it anyway. Amen. The outreach workers don't want to see your face again. And that's sometimes that we are so limited by our own expectation that, you know, I just want to go home and be part of the outreach team. No. Go. God will equip you. God will empower you. How many of you know in here, everybody in here, you have a tool bag? It's a tool bag that you can't see. Amen. So don't be looking for it down by your side there. And the tool bag that God has given you is everything that you've ever been through. Every experience that you've had in life that you can bring to memory at any second that could be of any sort of help to someone else. That is your tool bag. And that's one of the reasons why we shouldn't have any regrets, because God will use everything. He will use everything. And probably, and the most likely, is the nastiest, most horrible sort of memories that you have and stuff that you've been through is the very things that He will use to help other people. And that's why we need to learn to go there. We need to learn to be able to talk about the things that have caused us pain and misery and heartache. Absolutely no, because there's other people. And you might be through the other side of that, but there's other people in it. And if they could have a word of hope from someone carrying a message, like little old you, that would be amazing. That would be awesome. And maybe it's just exactly what Edinburgh is needing. Maybe Edinburgh is needing a people, maybe Edinburgh Elam Church, filled to overflow and filled so much that their lives are being spilled out, but not emptying. Amen. You know, because sometimes we have that, we talk about it in ministry circles, it's the whole burnout. You don't burn out if you're constantly being filled. If you're constantly being filled, there's no room for burnout. You're constantly being filled, so you don't run out even though you're giving constantly. Yeah, why? Because you prioritize properly. Jesus comes first. Jesus comes first. What did Jesus do? He constantly taken himself away so that he could pray, so that he could receive, so that he could hear from the Father. And that's what we need to do. Because part of your purpose and your destiny and God, listen, there is a network of people out there that you have never met yet that are all waiting for you. They are waiting for the day when they meet you and you will have some sort of word. It might be a shoulder. It might be a look in the eye. And they will just know, listen, you get it. You understand. And we can just love on people. Amen. We can just love on people. Amen. God is good. And Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good. And the only way that that happens is through constantly being filled, because you will grow weary in doing good if you're not filled. Do you understand? If you're not filled with God's Spirit, you will grow weary. And it doesn't take much. Yeah, you can be walking with God 1 minute and something comes in, a distraction of some kind, and you will know. You will know yourself, I'm sure the cogs are turning just now. There are many different things that come in on a weekly, a monthly basis. And like we keep feeling like we need to come back to them because we've done something wrong, done stuff that we shouldn't have done. We've spoken to people in a way that we shouldn't have. We haven't best presented Jesus to people. Amen. How many of you know that's what it is? That's what we're doing on a daily basis. The world has a view of God and it's given it to the people, and we're supposed to represent that to the people and say, no, that's not what religion is. That's not what God is. We have a loving God who has, you know, room for everyone. And there is no one, as my brother said, who is so low that God's arm can't reach them. You understand? If he could reach us, amen. I'll speak for myself. If he could reach me and he could reach you, then he can reach them. Because we don't think we're all that, do we? Absolutely not. Of course not. We don't think we're above the people out there on the streets that have nothing. Of course we don't. They are men and women who are lost. And I was lost. Have you ever felt lost? You ever been that man who wasn't in a position where he has the opportunity to step out from the crowd? You ever been that man or that woman that wasn't even a part of the crowd? You were just lying somewhere in a mess, brokenhearted. Amen. But that's not where you are now, because you're in Edinburgh Elam this morning. Amen. And God is raising up a standard. And that standard is a standard of being constantly filled to overflowing. Yeah, so that your hands and your feet are anointed for the things of God. That absolutely you will not turn your back. Facing everything head on that God brings your way. You ever refuse to do something that God's asked you to do? There's something about that. You just instantly regret it. You come away from a situation, you could be on a bus, you could be at the train station or something, you know you're supposed to, and you go away and you don't do it because of embarrassment, because of fear, because of insecurity, because of lack of confidence, whatever reason, and you just regret it. You know, Do you know what I'm saying? That feeling, you just like, you know, and it's like, I'm sorry. And we all have these moments. And I want to challenge you this morning that we would step in to your calling. Yeah, because how many of you know that's everybody's ministry, outreach? Everybody's ministry is to declare the word of God to other people. Yeah, people who don't know that message inside of you, that precious, precious message inside of you. Yeah. And if you don't tell people, how are they going to know? How are they going to know? That's the first question in Christian circles, isn't it? When someone passes away, did they know Jesus? Well, we shouldn't need to be asking that, because everybody in our lives, and I'm not saying we're ramming things down people's throats, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying there are ways where we can show God's love, where we can speak about the things of God, and we can show people that there's a better way. Could we have the scripture back up again? In verse 36 there it says, "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him." So Jesus is out on the sea with the disciples and he's asleep. Any sleepy folk? We've got some sleepy fellas on our program. There is no doubt about it. And sometimes the very time when we need to be awake and alert is the times when we start falling asleep. Yeah? So Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat. And the disciples are anxious. They're more than anxious, aren't they? They're distressed. In fact, they're petrified. They think they're going to die. Amen. You have Alec Berg comes to this church. And if any of you have ever been in a vehicle with him, then you will understand what I'm talking about. You are quite literally petrified and in fear for your life. You think you're going to die. Amen. So they wake him up. Waking up Jesus, you know, it's a funny scene, really. He's asleep, it's all kicking off, storm, waves crashing, rain, wind, wow. Wake up, help us. Do you not care that we are perishing? Now, how many of you know they're not perishing? Nobody's actually died. We can be very dramatic, can't we? Yeah, any very dramatic folk in here? It's like the world is about to end. No, it's no, you can't find something or whatever. You know, it's not the end of the world. And they wake him up and he just says, peace. Be still. But in verse 36 there, it says that there were other little boats on the water. And what I want to ask you this morning is, do you think that when Jesus spoke peace, that it calmed the storm just for his boat? Or do you think that it possibly might have calmed the storm for the other boats that were on the water? I mean, what do you think? I mean, what I think is that if they're on the sea and it takes the time to tell us that there were other boats there, then when he speaks peace, it calmed the sea. And people that didn't even know him, that weren't in relationship enough with him to reach down and say, wake up, do you not care that we are perishing? It would have calmed the sea for all of their little boats as well. And I want to say to you this morning about being that voice in your family. That voice that speaks peace. Yeah. And maybe one time you would have been known, certainly as I would have, Teen Challenge guys. If we can pigeonhole us all together for a wee second, that we might all have actually have a past somewhere. And we might not have all been super nice at one time. Amen. And we could speak peace into every situation, in any situation. Yeah? Like, you have a reputation for acting and talking in a certain way. And probably that reputation is all the more known when pressure comes. Amen? Because how many of you know you can, born again of God's Spirit, and the pressure comes and you can be effing and blinding and, yeah? And how many of you know that that shouldn't be the way? That's not the witness of Christ, is it? The world is watching. And it doesn't bring about the righteous life that God desires for us. So, you know, we need to learn that there are going to be situations where you are the man for the job. Amen. It is you. It's like, fathers, husbands, heads of the home. To be calm and know to be shouting your head off because things only going well. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? It's to speak peace, to be calm, yeah? To let everyone else take the lead from you, yeah? Because you have a relationship with Jesus and you're being filled to overflow. And you're able to speak peace into any and every situation that comes up. Amen. And we talk to the guys on our program about being that difference when they go home again. I mean, you know, some of these guys are going home to horrific situations. There's no doubt about it, and there's no getting away from it. That's what it is sometimes. But if they can be filled and constantly be being filled, then they'll stand a far better chance of being able to cope with anything that life throws at them and anything that the world throws at them than the guys that would come to us for a season and have a great turnaround in their lives, and then the wind and the waves come beating and they retort back to old ways again. How many of you know that's no good? That's no good. God is looking for us to be sustained. He's looking for us to maintain the good things that we have in our lives instead of maintaining those regrets, fears, and insecurities, to be the men and women that God has called us to be. How about that? But just think for a second that, like, everyone here just walked in their purpose. Yeah? I'll tell you just now, Edinburgh would be changed. Yeah? It would, I mean, it just would. It just, if 12 disciples changed the world, and how many we got in here, if you were just to walk in your purpose, you know? And I know sometimes we don't want to hear that, because sometimes some of us had a dream when we were a child, and we know we should be doing something else just now, and it's just not the path that we've followed. Let me tell you just now, it's never too late for a turnaround. Amen. But we need to move. There is a sense of urgency. Yeah? And that's what can happen in church life sometimes, I think. I think we can fall asleep. Do you know what I mean? We can fall asleep into the meetings and the, you know, because it's great, isn't it? It's when you've got a vibrant church and you've got prayer meetings and you've got youth groups and you've got whatever going on. David tells me it's a full program. I believe him. There's all sorts going on. And it's like, but that's good, and it's good for you. It's good that you're receiving, but you're receiving for a reason. You're not receiving so as that you can keep that within your little group in that prayer meeting, so as that you can keep that within that little group that you have coffee with, and you're like, oh, I was reading this scripture. Oh, what did you think about it? I thought this, I thought that. Wow. Well, in the Greek, it means this. Well, it's good. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're getting built up. But sometimes we're getting built up so much that we get a bit heavy and we fall asleep. Do you understand what I'm saying? We get a bit heavy, it's, you know, and we need to go out. We need to go out. God, didn't he give you the message so that you could just keep it? Did you understand? Yeah, and it might mean some of you getting over yourself. Yeah. Absolutely. That, you know, and sometimes God does that, doesn't he? Sometimes he's like, no, stop. Listen to what it is that's being said. And I would even ask you this morning, how are you hearing what it is that's being said? What sort of heart are you hearing it with? You know, when you came in to church this morning, is your heart supple? Is it soft and ready to receive? Or have you become a critique? You understand? You know, like a restaurant. Restaurants, they have critiques, don't they? They travel around all the restaurants and they say, good, bad, it was rotten. They get stars, don't they? They get stars for how good the restaurants are. And sometimes we can be like that with church life. We come in, that message was garbage this morning. Didn't they like that? Oh, that speaker there, oh, he was cracking. That was great. And we become a critique. I'm telling you, that's dangerous. It's dangerous. Yeah? And God wants us to send the message that we've received. Is it real in your life? I suppose is the question, isn't it? Because see, if it's real, let me tell you this, you can't contain it. And that sense of urgency, it's like it explodes within your life. But sometimes when it's become the club, you know how many of you know church can be like a club? And sometimes we shouldn't say, I'm going to church, we say, I'm going to the club. I'm going to my club. Do you know what I mean? Because we don't do anything outside of it. And we're hemmed in by this group of believers. Absolutely, it's good. It's sustaining us. It's fine. And yeah, you know, we're hearing messages and it's challenging us and our personal lives and stuff. But you know, this is a different challenge this morning. This is a challenge to go. You know, Teen Challenges had a prophetic word from our chief executive about putting hope within reach of every addict. Putting hope within reach of every addict. And you can be a part of that. Yeah? Because how many of you know we can't do that by ourselves? We, in terms of size of organization, for, you know, David said about 170, it's still a small organization. You know, still a small organization in the United Kingdom. So people are needed to go out there and be foot soldiers and, you know, essentially get in there. Get your, You roll your sleeves up, get your hands dirty. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Does everybody know what I mean by that? It's like, and we're too clean and proper. You know, I'm going to church. Yeah, no, you need to get on the street. You go and speak to some homeless people. Yeah. Not just giving people money and giving them a sandwich, but reaching down and helping people out of their situation. Walking with them, living with them. Do you understand? Doing life with dirty people. Yeah. Doesn't it sound great when you're sitting there suited and booted for your church meeting, does it? It's like you've done your hair and all that, you know, you've got your good stuff on and you're like, it's church. Yeah, but church is more than that. Church is a building. It's lovely, isn't it? He's pleased with your new seats. They are fantastic. And purple as well. Yeah. Amen. So will you be that one man? That's the question, isn't it? Will you step out? The Bible says it like this, wake up, you sleeper. How many of you know, when that was spoken to the church. It wasn't spoken to the non-believer who was dead in his sins. It was spoken to the church. You've enjoyed church life so much, you're sleeping. Wake up. Edinburgh is dying. You know, we hear in the news about an opioid epidemic. It's a national emergency in America. It's been a national emergency here for about 30 years. We don't hear about it. It's swept under. And we keep going to church. And hear me this morning. What I'm saying is that there is more within you. And there is more for you to do. There is more within me, and there is more for me to do. There is more in Teen Challenge for us to do. Amen. It makes it more comfortable when we put us all in the same box, doesn't it? Makes it more comfortable. But we need to go and do it. Because people are dying, and they don't know Jesus. And they need to know. Amen. They need to know. They need to know. Amen. So will we go? Absolutely. I know you're thinking, I wish you'd go, mate. I know. Praise the Lord there. Well, he went to the cross. I can cope with that, but all right. Amen. Okay.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message that has been spoken.